True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. True Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington, or as they call it when I was back east, Spokane. So we're coming to you from lovely Spokane, which sounds like an Indian reservation, but it's not. So I got a kick out of that when a gal that we were checking into thought it was, is that Spokane? I don't know how she came up with that, but she did. So anyway, Coins Plus has been doing business about 20 years. We buy and sell all forms of precious metals, and trust me, we do that in mass volume. Today was a tremendously massive day of volume. Sometimes it gets to be a little overwhelming, but we've been able to ride the pony today. A lot of metal trading hands. And folks, I'm thinking we are looking at the calm before the storm. Coins Plus can be reached 444-0044 locally, toll-free outside the area, 877-TAP-COIN, 877-827-2646, or through our website at coinsplus.com. That's coinsplus.com. We also have all of the previously recorded radio shows available for you there to download or listen to or whatever it is you want to do with them. There's so much going on in this world, folks. I don't really know where to begin some days. We've got these crazy arrests going on with Manafort. I don't know if you've been watching all this. Papadopoulos. How about that for a name? Aren't you glad you weren't born with that one? His last name's Papadopoulos. And then I can't remember the other guy off the top of my head. But basically what's going on is Robert Mueller or Mueller. Today's name that name. Robert Mueller is the guy who's the special counsel on the supposed Russia collusion investigation against Trump. There is a mess and a half in this thing, folks, and I don't know how much you know, how much you care. America is being jeopardized, in my opinion. We have got, you know, Donald Trump hired Manafort for a while to help with his campaign, and apparently the guy did a fine job. He had an incredible set of connections, I suppose, with Russia, they say, from years back. Which is not illegal, but apparently they're coming after him for stuff that I'm not going to get into here. But, you know, supposedly over the years he did some things with money he shouldn't, or he didn't disclose properly his relationships and blah, blah, blah. The thing is they were getting ready to put pressure on Mueller to shut the investigation down. These warrants start, a no-knock warrant gets served on Paul Manafort, which means that's where they kick in the door. On white-collar crime, they just typically don't do this, folks. But in this case, they have. And essentially what that means is they showed up at his house, no forewarning, while they were sleeping, crashed in the door, him and his wife. You can imagine, tough situation, claiming that he didn't properly disclose some of his relationships in his, you know, campaign aid form or whatever. So now what's going on is they're essentially, it's a witch hunt, okay? I mean, these are situations no one would ever, ever normally be arrested for. It's interesting to me what Manafort was doing. I don't think it makes a heck of a lot of sense, as he's been helping people in Russia. He's been a liaison between Russia and American politicians. He hasn't colluded to impact an election or campaign. He has used his influence to basically lobby for Russia or Russian oligarchs, such as the well-known Russian multi-gajillion billionaire that has the biggest yachts and planes in the world and whatnot. And they're literally trying to put all this pressure on these guys, still, folks, convinced that Trump is dirty. I'm afraid, because I'm afraid they're going to arrest Trump's son. I think this is an absolutely terrible witch hunt. I think as the conservative truth is coming out about all of the collusion with Hillary, It appears to me that they're exercising an extraordinary amount of malice in this situation. They're trying with all their might to essentially create the appearance of maliciousness or collusion or however you want to see it. It's a bad situation. We've had situations in the past. Ken Starr, who was on staff to pursue the Clinton scandal, Clinton plagiarism. The Clintons, by the way, are the most corrupt people to have ever held office in history, according to somebody I know very, very well, who's very, very well read and very knowledgeable in D.C., working closely with all of the legal justice system back there on Capitol Hill. She says there's hands down nobody who's ever even attempted to reach the level of corruption of the Clintons. And that's why they don't understand true justice. They don't understand reality. They don't understand integrity at all. They put forth this artificial appearance. They tell people whatever they want to hear to get themselves favor and so on. And so we've got, you know, so you got the first charges and indictment filed Monday in the Mueller investigation. It should be on the dossier scandal, but it's not. The dossier scandal is where the Democratic National Committee paid for this false dossier they paid GPS Fusion for a false dossier, which means a false book of information about Trump. They call it opposition research, but it's opposition lies. And it came up with some heinous, disgusting, and hideous things on Trump that was, you know, it was instantly discarded by everyone in D.C. The media put it out there, you know, hoping it'd stick, saying that Trump was engaged at the Kremlin in some very sick acts. You get another form of deception that I'm, you know, aware of. Is I was listening to, I can't remember the gay, there's a congressman, the kind of the liberal spokesman now. It's not Schiff. It may be Congressman or Senator Schiff, I think it is. He is essentially becoming the mouthpiece for the left. He's smooth. He's Adam Schiff is who I believe he is. Adam Schiff is who it is. So what one of the great forms of deception that is used is to take a great amount of truth and then spice it with lies. This is how brainwashing is done. This is how deception is done. This is how, even in my business, Goldline for years was on the radio. They had this great radio show, 99% Truth. The only problem was they would talk you into investing in precious metals-based assets, which is all good and it's all true. Everything about them was true, except their pricing was very unfair and just really nasty, basically. They overcharged. People would get sucked in and they'd say, but everything on the show is true. Everything I hear from them is true. And I'm like, you're correct. It is true. And that is actually an intentional form of deception. Why am I saying this? Adam Schiff, the left-wing liberal senator who's a spokesperson, when this dossier comes up repeatedly, and by the way, once again, the dossier that was constructed, purchased by the money out of the DNC for supposed opposition research, made heinous, horrible, deplorable claims about Trump's behavior sexually and all kinds of sick stuff. If it were true, you know, it was terrible. Okay. So Adam Schiff's comment, by the way, it was paid for by the Democratic National Committee, hidden. The FBI used it to obtain wiretaps and search warrants to tap the Trump Commission, the Trump campaign, throughout the entire election, you know, Obama, Susan Rice, all these people were, you know, Hillary supporters behind the scenes involved in illegal wiretapping. I mean, think of this. They're involved in illegal wiretapping, and they're using the information to their campaign advantage. You talk about an abuse of power based on a false dossier full of false information. At one point, because it was used in order to obtain search warrants and wiretaps, it almost got to the point where James Comey, also a very corrupt left-wing individual, the head of the FBI, director of the FBI, he was going to pay the Democratic National Committee back for this false dossier, reimburse the DNC, the FBI was, as evidence of crimes. So they began to tap Trump. And I really get tired of the left when they come out. You know, Trump's just almost like a prophet, folks. There are so many things. The guy's pure in my eyes. The discernment that I have, whether it's good or bad, I believe it's pretty accurate, is that Trump's a pure man. He may be obnoxious, he may be rude to people, but he's very candid and he's very forthright. He came out and said Trump Tower was being wiretapped. And then the whole left went crazy and mocked him for the term wiretapping and made fun of him and blah, blah, blah. Sure enough, it proves later to be true. You'll see this over and over again with Trump. He gets good sources of information. He never gives up his source. And he's a pure man. He speaks the truth because he doesn't have anything to hide. The left, the bureaucracy, the establishment, the swamp hates that about him. So so this false dossier was used in order to obtain wiretaps, which were used in order to, illegally campaign against him. And guess what? It didn't work. So Adam Schiff comes out yesterday and says, well, we shouldn't be looking at the things that aren't true in the dossier. He goes, we need to look at all those things that are true. And we need to focus on how much of it is true. That is a great deception, folks, because if somebody is telling a story or they're providing testimony or evidence in a court case and they are lying every so often, okay, do you say, well, gee, I really need to sift through and really focus on everything they're saying that's the truth? Or does that person lose all credibility? I recently had to let an employee go who I loved and I've known for many years for this very reason. There were just lie after lie after lie. And I tried to tell him over and over, when you lie to me, you're destroying your entire credibility. When you lie, I don't know what I can believe. And that is the truth. When someone lies to you, you don't go back and say, well, I'm going to assume a bunch of other stuff is true. It really spins you out of control. It's a destruction of credibility. That's why Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's so important that what you say is true and accurate. If somebody knows that and they still can't stop, you have a problem. There is Chinese parable. Before I became a believer, I read a bunch of Confucius. And it said, a liar is a thief. Okay? Now, if somebody can readily lie, thieving is just a form of lying. If someone steals, it's a lie. It's a deception. So if someone has a problem with lying, there's a pretty good close to 100% chance that they do or will steal as well. On the dossier, the left is always trying to spin Trump down. So they're trying to say, well, let's look at what's true and ignore all the lies and deceptions and improper information. That's completely false. That is absolutely foolish. Anyone in their right mind should never do that. Hillary basically hired through Mark Elias, Fusion GPS, who then hired Christopher Steele, who was a ex-British spy agent, MI6 or something, to construct the false dossier, okay? They knew it was false. They paid $9 million for all of it, start to finish. They now the Democrats, and the fact that they didn't disclose it in any of their campaign disclosures, there's so much corruption in the campaign stuff. If you go all the way back to Obama, he was receiving $500 million illegally through Gaza Fund, Gaza Solicitation Center, that went to his campaign that they didn't report because they said the computer was down and the whole story, and you get it. The media doesn't go after it. The Justice Department doesn't go after it. Folks, in all honesty, we have been overtaken with deeply seated corruption in the system. And the fact is, no matter how objective or unbiased I want to be, it's very clear to me that the left abuses this stuff to an absolute extreme. There's scandal after scandal after scandal, including those on the left. And once in a while, you'll see something on the right. You get, for example, Clinton, who was, you know, look at Anthony Weiner. He's sexting, you know, minors, and one problem after the next. He gets caught. He keeps going. He won't stop. He loses everything, and he never stops, and he's running for mayor and all this. You get Clinton. He gets caught with Monica Lewinsky, and he won't stop, and he lies, and he perjures himself, and he goes on and on and on. Then you get examples like you go back to Nixon. The minute that they got his information and impeached him, he was gone. There was a congressman a few years ago. I wish I had his name. He got caught sending out or basically communicating with girls using his real picture and real name and giving them false information what he did for a living. But he was a congressman, for goodness sakes. It hit the media. He was conservative. Once it came out, he immediately stepped down and bowed out. You look at Mark Sandifer, the governor who was, you know, paying for using his state's funds to fly to Brazil to see his girlfriend while he was married, and he was using state funds. And the people of the state, the only way to get rid of him was to do a recall election, and it was too close to the regular election, so they couldn't do it. They eventually voted him out, but he was a lefty. He wouldn't step down. And you got to, you know, there's a different level of morality. The left believes in winning at any cost. It doesn't matter how you get there. The left is, they are socialists. They're godless socialists. They'll disagree with what I say because they do have a God. That God is just not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not the God Jesus Christ. Their God is the God of the underworld. He's the dark side. He is their God, little g. They worship the devil in their actions, and people don't realize that this is true. And it's only appropriate on a day like today to really bring that out. Demonic activity is real. We've got to realize that. Tomorrow is Halloween. Am I right? So Halloween has the pagan roots going way back. I am sure many of us know it, but it is a very dark, dark day. We are not, it's the holy, high holy, you know, day of demonism. We are not to worship in it. We are to participate in it. We're not to engage in it. We are not to even be part of it, okay? We need to go away from Halloween. Isn't it appropriate that the devil would bring candy to the children on Halloween and lure them in? Oh, it's such a fun day. Look at all these scary monsters. Look how cute we all dress up like scary, evil things. Do you really believe that that's edifying into the body of Christ? Do you think it's good for the minds of children to run around at night in the dark and say trick or treat? Basically, give me something good or I will do something bad to you. That is what trick or treat means. You dress up in a mask. You dress up in a costume that is intended to scare somebody. And they used to go around and come to people's houses dressed up in very heinous, scary outfits, costumes, and say trick or treat. Give me something good to eat. We've added to that. But I mean, basically, they say, you give me something good or I'm going to do something bad to you. There's a spiritual connotation too, where it's, I mean, if you look at Islam, when someone is a Christian, they believe that they can tax you and if until you're broke and then kill you. If you do not pay the tax, it's the jizya. If you don't pay them the tax, they can do bad things to you. It's the same thing, trick or treat. It means, you know, destroy or give me my due. Basically, I'm with the devil. This is our domain. You're on my soil. Give it to me now. The same thing, the dark side. You think of the mobs that control the inner cities. What happens to businesses? They come in the door, trick or treat, right? They say, basically, you pay me to be here or I will destroy you. You give me something good and or I will ruin your business. I'll ruin your life because this is my domain. And it's done from a demonic perspective. The God of the Bible tells us to share. He calls it all of our shared domain. We have private property and we respect that. And that's an American way of life. And so when these mobs and whatnot come along and encroach upon that, that's a vile sin. It's a tremendous bad thing. It's a violation of what our founding fathers called inalienable rights. These are God-given rights. When man, empowered by the devil, evil, comes and stomps on those rights, what are we doing? I mean, we are basically spitting in the face of God. We're taking away man's inalienable rights. Look at the inalienable rights God's given us. And folks, I'm not going to tell you any otherwise, but throughout history, wow. The things that man's done to man, wow. Slavery, wow. You know? And, you know, as a side note, I did this ridiculously extensive research of slavery throughout history. Some terrible, terrible stories and so many good ones. I mean, there are so many stories. I was reading, I think, last night in Proverbs 30, where it said, don't say something bad about a man slave to him, for you will pay the price, basically. So men respected their slaves in a lot of cases. You were to do that. The word slave now has a terrible connotation because we know about the heinous brutality that took place in the way a man treated a slave. There's many situations where people would be, you know, you think of all the poverty level stuff. Think of the Hispanics that jumped the border to take these agricultural jobs and make very little. When I was in banking, we would have situations that I would turn a blind eye to because they weren't quite, you know, in line with what our policy was, where you would have like four Hispanic families that would pool their money together and get a sufficient amount of a down payment in the form of cash to buy a home. They might round up $50,000, and because we had LTV loans, loan to value, based on equity only. And if you had enough down and our equity position was good enough, then we would do the loan without a lot of detail work just because it was supposed to be a good risk because you put a lot of money down. We would see groups of four families buy a four-bedroom home, and each family would live in one bedroom of that home just to have their own place, okay? That's poverty. And it wasn't comfortable. A lot of times I had to do home inspections. I'd walk in these places, and I'd just be like, wow, this is a sad situation. I wouldn't let the bank know just because I didn't want to hurt, you know, affect somebody's livelihood or home. My point is this. They work for small wages. They live a meager life. For years and years, there's been numerous slavery situations where slaves lived better than they would on their own wages. Not here to justify it. Didn't intend to really get into it. But you have to understand that the way that a man's heart is, even in treating his animals and whatnot, is what is reflected in how he treated his slaves. And again, not justifying slavery. It's very interesting. It's a biblical concept that's there. I don't know why, but it was basically a cultural difference of poverty level employment, where someone who was at that level would be assumed as a bond servant, that basically the owner would say, look, I'm providing home, food, shelter, health care, you know, whatever you want to call it. And as your family grows, I'll provide for them. I'm going to give you safety and security and protection and a way to earn a living. And I'm going to give you all these things. George Washington did it. Thomas Jefferson did it. And when George Washington died, what was really important to him was to emancipate his slaves, to free them. They weren't freed until Martha did. But George Washington was a tremendously wealthy entrepreneur, and he gave each slave through Martha, he left what we now refer to as a pension. He left money for each slave, significant amount of money, so they could spend the rest of their life in peace, financial peace. They'd been freed and given a pension. I think you'd agree that's not the behavior of a man who is abusive and unkind to his slaves. And then we get this recent die-in where they don't, you know, they want to tear down a statue of Abraham Lincoln because he owned a slave. When we look at the reality of history, that's a very foolish, foolish position. We should know better than that, I would say. So here we are. Off on topic again, nothing new. So, but basically what we've got is, you know, this opposition research, we've kind of gone into the time of the year where, you know, you've got man ruling the earth in a very dark, demonic, controlling way. They're, you know, this whole dossier, the arrests and all this, now they're being disregarded as normal information gathering. And somehow the Obama administration used this dossier as evidence for wiretapping the Trump campaign. Now, everyone is lying about it, which is apparently par for the course now. And the Dems have even falsely testified about the fact that they paid Fusion GPS over $9 million for this dossier. And then the Washington Free Beacon website started it. Apparently, they're a conservative website, and they were initially involved, and then they got out when they realized how bad it was getting. Apparently, they were initially against Trump in the primary and then for him later. There's so many CIA laws that have been broken by Hillary and the Dems, folks. Unbelievable. The dossier scandal, Uranium One, email scandal. Obama, folks, we've got the IRS and Tea Party scandal where they were discriminating against conservative groups, trying to get 501c3s, you know, through Lois Lerner of the IRS. They weaponized the IRS. They intentionally denied 501c3s, nonprofits, to any conservative group that wanted to oppose Obama. This is terrifying, folks, the power that's being exercised here. You've got the dossier scandal. They create false information to get wiretaps on Trump during the campaign to try to extract information that's very private and very secretive to beat him in the election. And then we have this situation with back under Obama. This is nothing new. Where they weaponized the IRS. They use Lois Lerner to deny any conservative organization a 501c3 so they can't ramp up and give Obama a proper opposition. So they do this to hold these groups down through the 2012 election. Just like Obama kept Benghazi down on the down low, on the low key thing. He did everything to hide every scandal out there. So he was falsely reelected. The man was terribly corrupt. He's an ideologue, but he's an ideologue at a level that he thinks anything goes. And the other thing I mentioned here not long ago is the fact that Obama is utilizing his operation for action or whatever it's called, along with George Soros now, to really work the system from behind the scenes. And we, I mean, wow, right? I mean, isn't that a concern that you have someone like Obama doing what no prior president has ever done? I mentioned Friday, I think, in closing, how through Obama's doing it, you know, using a network of leftist nonprofits led by his OFA, Organizing for Action. Normally, you'd expect an organization set up to support a politician in his agenda to close up shop after the candidate leaves office, but not Obama's OFA. Rather, it's gearing up for battle with a growing war chest and more than 250 offices throughout the country. You've also got George Soros. The guy is a heat case. I mean, he's an absolute heat case. The guy has the most wretched credentials and an incredible amount of money. It's absolutely phenomenal. He's dedicated $18 billion to his Open Society Fund, which gives $970 million a year towards opposition of, right now, Trump and the conservatives. False news, you know, fake news, as Obama or as Trump calls it, false advertising, legal fees to protect themselves from the ramifications of it. And recently, Jay Sekulow of the ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice, an organization I love, the counterpart, the conservative biblical counterpart to the ACLU, which is the American Civil Liberties Union, which is a radical left-wing organization that I disagree with 99% of the time. I do agree with them occasionally on freedom of speech cases, because freedom of speech is the first two amendments, freedom of speech and the right to bear arms, are the two critical amendments in the Constitution. Without them, we literally have nothing. Without the ability to speak the truth, to discuss with opposition, and to protect our rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which includes property, without that, folks, we are done. I want you to understand the socialists in this nation are at a crossroads where they want to take this away. My fear is levels of riots increase. I believe that the Vegas shooting was designed. All evidence is appearing right now that the Vegas shooting was designed to focus everybody on gun control. I say this for the simple fact that they are finding absolutely no evidence to basically convict, I guess, or indict the man, Steve Paddock, who's now dead. It just seems like a shield game. It's absolutely crazy. It's unbelievable. Okay. The CEO of MGM that owns the Mandalay sold off all of his stock within weeks of this event, $1 billion worth of stock. There are no records of Stephen Paddock buying any of these guns other than a shotgun and a hunting rifle in the last one was, I think, 3 or 6 months ago, and the other was 16 months ago. Regular guns, just American guns. None of this assault rifles. No, they're finding nothing. The security guard, Jose Ramos, who supposedly got shot, had a graze on his leg. He supposedly went in and out of the ER with no problems, no time. Went back to Mexico immediately. Came back once, and they said, oh, good, he's back. He'd only worked there for a few weeks. He used a false social security number to get the job. He supposedly got shot, radioed in, supposedly, and was somehow involved. We don't know. There's something wrong. So the CEO of MGM cashes in all of his stock, this supposed security guard comes out of Mexico, takes this job for, you know, weeks at most, a month and a half. He's involved in this, doesn't call in properly, essentially, very possibly, is a plant that goes to the area in order to prevent anyone else from going to the area. He was supposed to be stationed on the other end of the building that day. When he called in and said, shots fired, they went to the wrong end of the building. Why? Because he was supposed to be stationed there. He didn't tell them that he went to a completely different part of the building. He didn't tell them he'd been shot. He told them nothing. So he hadn't been shot. I believe that he took a fake graze to the leg of whatever that was, just a little bit in the fatty tissue. He probably got paid a fat fee to do this. And then he took the fake shot so that later when they're like, why didn't you say the right thing? Or why didn't you keep on the radio or whatever? Or why were you up there for so long? And he said, I was shot. You know, I couldn't do anything. It was so horrific. He goes to the ER without anyone from MGM involved. You know, it doesn't make sense. Now, guess where Jose Ramos is? Last I heard, he went back to Mexico once and for all. Gone. No more acquiring him. And guess what? We think his name's Jose Ramos, but he used a false social security number to get the job. So who is he really? We don't even know. We've got the house of Stephen Paddock, the supposed Las Vegas shooter, broken into before the FBI was able to get there. Okay? They claim that it happened as an accident because they claim they gave out Stephen Paddock's name too quickly before they'd had time to reach the home and do their research or investigation. What are the odds? I mean, if you heard someone did something, would you go break into their house knowing the FBI was coming? I believe the home was probably breached in order to plant a bunch more of these weapons, just as had been done in the hotel room. There is a prior maintenance engineer from the Mandalay Bay who claims that the room that Stephen Paddock was in, Stephen Paddock again is the supposed alleged MGM Mandalay shooter. They said the rooms that he was in, these rooms are the rooms at the suites at the very end of the hallway. Those are the only rooms that allow access to a heating and cooling and electrical, a utilities shaft, a large shaft that is somehow configured between the stairwell and the room. And supposedly the maintenance engineer who worked there for years showed schematics to show how somebody in the room could easily access this utilities shaft through a great big grate or vent in the room, sufficiently large enough for humans to get in and out of, because that's where they actually access this vent or this shaft. And he's saying hypothetically, a person could have easily escaped out that method, out that way. Even now, one thing that's weird is even Jesus Ramos, the supposed security guard who's now, you know, discredited, even he said he heard drilling. Another couple people from that area that night that were trying to figure out what's going on said they heard drilling in that room. So you've got the supposed shooting going on, which you do, and then you have this drilling. Why was someone drilling, or were they using power tools to remove and replace screws in and out of a grate to escape, to vacate the real shooters? There's a group of Army Rangers that are the best of the best. Multiple, they were each allowed to hear the audio file of the shooting. Every single one of them said two things. They said, number one, it's two guns that they're hearing. And number two, they said it's an M240, a mini machine gun with a belt feed, not a bump stock gun. So there's guns all over the floor when they get there. These are all deceptive, confusion. So these Rangers, which, you know, live combat experience, instantly all identify the sound as an M240, a mini machine gun with a belt feed. When they go to the room, there's no M240 there. So the evidence is gone. It disappeared down that utility shaft, okay? So they leave Stephen Paddock there with a bullet hole in the chest, dead. Supposedly committed suicide by shooting himself in the chest, they say. And apparently the first picture that appeared of him on the floor was a bullet hole in the chest, and then that picture was immediately scrubbed and unobtainable any longer. So you've got that whole scenario going on, too. There's no record whatsoever of his beliefs at all. There's nothing radical. There's nothing written. There's no evidence of him reading this, supposedly. So they've got nothing on the guy. Okay? So the narrative doesn't fit. That's why they're having so many problems with the timeline based on Jesus Ramos, because the guy was there to buy time. That's what he was there for. They claim that the shooter blew all these bullets out the door towards Jesus Ramos. Jesus claims that he was in the stairwell watching right next to the room with the door cracked open. He claims at one point one bullet hit him in the leg. He claims, 200 rounds came through the door. I saw pictures of the door. There's no outward explosion that is typical with guns being shot through the door. If the door really took 200 and some rounds, how'd it keep standing? There's too much wrong with this whole story, folks. Now, I'm bouncing a little bit, but I want you to understand all of this stuff is beginning to work together. I believe it's possible, theoretically, not for sure, but just saying, there's a possibility someone of the resource level of a George Soros paid for this whole scenario because they wanted people to say, oh my gosh, look at this. Here's a perfectly legitimate white man, great career as an accountant and a pilot, no history of any problems, no history of radicalization whatsoever. No strong religious ties, because you know how the left hates that. And believe it or not, you'd think that they'd want to make it look like a Christian. But really, what they wanted is the most plain vanilla tofu scenario you could imagine. And they wanted it that way so that they could say, look, there would have been no way whatsoever to stop this. We've got to confiscate guns. Well, ironically, within an hour or two, a guy posts a video on YouTube and says, look, this is a bump stock. And he says, listen to this. So he compares some of the audio with his shooting a bump stock, and it sounds alike. Not really. I heard it didn't really sound alike at all. When I heard it, I'm like, what? He goes, see, you can hear it coming and going. Well, the reason you could kind of hear waves in the sound was simple. You had, the recordings were taken from a quarter mile away. You had sound bouncing off a building as the gun was pointing different directions, therefore spraying, the sound waves out in a variety of directions. So sure, you're going to get waves coming and going, no doubt about it. But the fact of the matter was it didn't sound like a bump stock at all. However, this video went viral immediately. People want answers when things like this happen. So they immediately start to drink the Kool-Aid, and it actually stole the narrative from the left, from the George Soroses of the world, who has all these great, big, very effective websites that he uses to spread false propaganda. The left tried to jump back in and say, no, it's not about bump stocks, it's about guns. Well, it was too late. Then you started to get the Hillarys of the world to say, look, we need to outlaw suppressors. Those are silencers, for those of you who don't know, because if he would have had a suppressor, oh, it would have been way worse, way worse. Well, whether it would or wouldn't, I don't know. But the point is he didn't. But again, it distracted from the intention of the person who may have orchestrated this situation. The part that I left out here, that's the kicker, most recent, is, okay, so they find nothing, right? The guy's got nothing. There's nothing on his computer. Hard drives, nothing. something interesting now. Let's say the guy was innocently framed, and let's say that a couple people escaped through that utility shaft, somehow that they befriended Stephen Paddock for whatever, kidnapped him or whatever, made him look like the shooter, killed him and left him on site to make it look like suicide, and disappeared. Well, and let's say Stephen Paddock had nothing to do with it, but let's even go to the next extreme. Let's say Stephen Paddock did have some stuff on his computer. Maybe he had something that would have exonerated him. Maybe he would say, maybe he had something on there that said, people have been following me, something wrong's going on, I don't feel good. Why would I bring up all that theoretical stuff? Here's simple why. Last week, the hard drive from his computer was lost now. The FBI has officially lost the hard drive for Stephen Paddock's computer. Why would they do that? Okay, how do you lose a hard drive in the greatest mass murder in American history? Well, there's only a couple reasons you do it. One is it's a legitimate mistake, but under the circumstances of that level of evidence, how would you lose that? The one scenario that I think makes sense is they lose it because the information contained therein on the hard drive was extraordinarily inconvenient to their narrative. As they are constructing this false narrative to give everybody peace of mind, the guy's just a wacko, they run into information that's hurting them, and they get rid of the hard drive, or somebody on the inside removes it, or whatever. I mean, these are things to consider, folks. Just, I wouldn't put it past it. If you remember 9/11, the day before, emergency meeting, Donald Rumsfeld, Director of Department of Secretary of Defense, emergency meeting of Congress says we lost $2.3 trillion. The Department of Defense can't account for $2.3 trillion. But I give you my word, we're going to look for it. As I've said before, the only locations where this money could have, where the records necessary to find this money were located, was in the part of the Pentagon that had just been remodeled and supposedly all this stuff stored with no people in it, which is also the part of the Pentagon that got supposedly hit by a plane, which wasn't a plane, it was a rocket. You can go online and do research there. There's no question. The height that was hit, the breadth of the hole, the width and size of the hole, the remaining debris, the lack of bodies, the lack of materials, everything. It was a rocket. A 57-foot wide fuselage of a 747 was able to supposedly make a 16-foot wide hole only 30 feet above ground. I mean, it's not even possible. Or it wasn't even 30 foot. I think it was 30 feet to the top of the hole. So 9/11. So all that information disappears. People for a New American Century committed to create a Pearl Harbor-sized event to basically implement their agenda on America, which included an essential martial law component. They wanted to surveil the people. They wanted to give up civil rights. They wanted to track movement. They wanted to begin to ID people. That was done. Point is, $2.3 trillion disappeared, unaccountable for. Where they were going to look for it was the Pentagon and, of course, World Trade Center Building Number 7, which also included investigations on hundreds, if not more, Wall Street publicly traded companies for cooking the books, just like Enron did. Of course, World Trade Center 7 went down. The Pentagon Arena went, or Pentagon Arena. The area of the Pentagon that held the papers or the records to research for the Department of Defense, what loss was destroyed, so scot-free, off they go. Plus the distraction's so big, no one cares for a long time. 9/11 is so full of holes and conspiracy theories, it's not even funny, folks. It's literally that bad. It really is that bad. I've seen it. I've researched it. So with that kind of money, you think of the George Soros program now, $971 million a year we know about. How hard would it be to orchestrate a situation like we saw in Vegas? It's that important. if we know that Obama was involved in things like Fast and Furious, where they intentionally diverted weapons illegally to Mexico, and those weapons were used to kill our Border Patrol agents, and the entire design is right when Fast and Furious started, long before we had a clue, we had Hillary coming out saying it's our guns that are killing everybody, and then it proves to be true. It's our guns that are killing everybody. If Obama is in cahoots with this kind of stuff, and he'll falsify dossiers to get illegal wiretaps on opponents during a campaign, if he'll use the IRS as a weapon to destroy free speech in America, why would you not be comfortable considering the fact that they could do the same thing at the Vegas shooting? I'm not looking for conspiracies on all this, folks, but I'm telling you, there's other shootings, Sandy Hook. There's just a big mess. Now, you bring these questions up, you're immediately ostracized, labeled an unpatriotic radical. You know, if you question anything, you're a racist and a sexist and whatever else. I don't know. But these are just questions. I'm not stating facts that – I'm not stating conclusions. The facts are the facts. The facts lead to normal questions. What's this all about? We need to think about this, right? So we've got President Obama, X, and he said it's time for some organizing. He's intimately involved with this OFA, as I mentioned. Far from sulking, you know, his activists helped organize anti-Trump marches across U.S. cities, which have turned into riots. And we know that they planted people at one campaign after the next of Trump's. We know for a fact that was their M.O. We've got all the old Obama aides running and ex-campaign workers running this OFA. Federal tax records show nonpartisan OFA marshals, 35,225 volunteers nationwide. Registered as a 501c4, 525 volunteers to disclose, 501c4. Which does not have to disclose its donors, but its donors have been incredibly generous. The amount of money the OFA has raised, over $40 million as of April of this year. So, you know, they could be at $100 million by now. That's in contributions and grants since they evolved from Obama's campaign and after the election. So the OFA in IRS filing says it trains young activists to develop organizing skills. Obama was a community organizer. He became president. This is impacting America like never before. So they're using Obama's 2012 campaign database, which, you know, there's another thing. He constructed that on the dime of huge contributions. The OFA, Obama's organization, plans to get out the vote, they say, for Democratic candidates. It's grooming to win back Congress and erect a wall of resistance to Trump at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue down in D.C. It'll be aided in that effort by the Obama Foundation, which is run by Obama's former political director in the National Democratic Redistricting Committee, that was launched last month by Obama's buddy Eric Holder, the old attorney general, to end what he and Obama called GOP gerrymandering of congressional districts. I could go on and on and on. I'm always out of time. I hate it. I get to this stuff. It drives me nuts. I just don't have the time to cover all this, and it's really frustrating. It's definitely rebuilding in a corrupt way. This reminds me of socialistic coups, folks. This is not America. This is not what we're about. We're about free elections and free information. You get someone like Obama, he's been trained by the worst of the worst. His father, Marshall Davis, one of the most radical socialists known, incredibly bad roots. Okay, we've got so much crime. And what really drives me nuts is this. Everything is blowing apart. Uranium One, we sold out all of our uranium for money to the $145 million to the Hillary Fund, to the Clinton Foundation. It's, you know, they're selling out our national security is what they're doing. And I, you know, they're apparently able to do it, quote unquote, legally. So something that we need to be very concerned about. We are at a turning point. Pray hard. God needs to protect this nation without a question. And we've got to prepare ourselves financially. Again, folks, terrific, terrific, terrific opportunity to buy. People are selling. The market is in metals is just firm and solid. 401ks and IRAs are cake. If you've got a savings account, something you want to deal with, now is definitely the time. Don't hesitate. Understand that what we sell is money. It's not an investment. It's money. God's money. Biblically endorsed and authorized from the beginning, middle, and end of the Bible, all the way down to the first gift that Christ got that the wise men brought. It's what the temple was made out of. It's what God says you're going to cast into the streets when the final day, the final bell rings. It's what shows up in Genesis 2 as true wealth. It's what Solomon accumulated the most of to be the richest man on earth. It's what God told the Israelites over and over and over. I own it all, and he mentioned the gold. It's whenever they conquered a nation, when God told the Israelites, take all their gold, take all their silver. It's ours. It's true wealth on earth. It's ours. We own it. It's ours. God wants you as his child to be gold rich, as a Chinaman told me one time. He said, once you're gold rich, you're always rich. When you have hard assets locked and loaded, you are set for life. After that, you can do whatever you want. Even Solomon said to put your money in many assets, he says. That's how it breaks down in the Greek or the Hebrew. So, folks, it's simple. Call us. Let us help you set a little portfolio. I don't care if it's a savings account. I don't care what it is. It's immediately liquid, transportable, anonymous. It's a simple, wise, godly way to go. Thank you again for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I always wish I could do a little bit better next time. So we'll see you Wednesday. Take care. God bless. Have a great night. Bye-bye.